Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Hey, how are you? I'm Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O, here today for my good friends Ryan and David. You may know if you listen to the podcast Radical Retro Rewind.
I love it.
All of it.
Radical Retro Rewind.
She even looks older.
You like my art collection?
Yeah, we've heard that one before, mummy.
What is it? I heard him shout.
Oh, yeah. Thundercats! Ho!
Who you calling a hoe?
Welcome back, bunglers, to another episode of Thundercats Reviews, brought to you by the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with everyone's favorite brother, David, and we are welcoming back our special guest, the author of Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond. We know him as Buddha. Professionally, he is known as Sean McEwen. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you very much for having me back. Again, I think I've thanked you 1,000 times already, even in messages and whatnot. But I'm going to thank you guys, both you. I'm going to thank you both again. Thank you for having me. On a huge episode, by the way. I'll lead in with that. I mean, if huge. You guys aren't going to, I'm going to. Thank you for this huge episode and having me. Are you kidding? I'll let you go. Go ahead. You talk about it.
I love this. Before recording, we were talking off camera and Buddha just has us pumped. This is a huge episode, like he mentioned. Not only we have Sean back, of course, to talk about Thundercats, but it's the 100th episode of Thundercats, our 100th review, and the 40th anniversary of Thundercats.
This is huge.
Yes,
huge. Thank you for having me for this. So, like, of all episodes, thank you. I know we talked about this when we talked before. You wanted to have me back here. I made it back again. Would not have imagined you would have brought me back for this. So I can't thank you enough for this. It's anniversary. It was already a party for that anniversary. Now it's the 100th episode review. Like, this isn't wild. This is wild. Thank you so much.
We're happy to have you. We're excited to have you.
Beyond excited to have you back. Look at this beautiful shot. Buddha's space back here. The board game that always had a naked tiger on it for some reason when everyone else has clothes.
Teach their own, people. Teach their own.
Oh, I want to put this out there. So I've been using this as a corner, okay? And a lot of people, I've done a few different interviews and they see this, like, why is he doing, like, was it the fisheye lens? It's not a fisheye lens. It's a corner. That's all it is, everyone. I want to put it out there for people that think it's the fisheye or whatever. It's just a corner of a room.
But it's smart because it angles you, I think, really well.
Thank you. That was my thought, too. But, like, I didn't know if people also thought that, but that was my vision for it. And I was like, I like it, whatever. But I wanted to clear it up when people are like, why is he doing a fisheye? It's not fisheye. It's just the actual corner of my collection room. That's it.
But it's beautiful as opposed to this bedroom that I'm recording in right now. Yeah. You know, I'd much rather have a corner, a beautiful corner.
We will.
Exactly. Like, I'm always moving stuff around. Like, probably next time we talk, this will be changed. Like, it'll be totally different. So it's fine. The bedroom roll looks fantastic. Like,
well, thank you.
Of course.
Like, the high budget we have here on this show.
Right.
So, Sean, I just want to say you are on the third printing of Hall of Omens.
Yes.
And why do I feel like this is, like, flying? Because when did we talk to you last?
What was it? It was actually right when the book first came out. I think it was, like, March, I believe. It was, like, March or April. It's sometime around there. Because I know we had talked about it before the book came out. And then we was kind of waiting for it to come out. And then I think it finally came out. It was around March 18th, I think, is when I actually first started shipping them out, right around that time. So I think it was sometime within the next, like, week or so from there. And it's been absolutely wild. The third printing, which I know, and I hate to repeat myself, I know I did it then, like I said, it's probably this exact line, but it was the truth. I didn't know if I was going to sell two of these books. I didn't know if anyone was going to be interested in it. Then here we are, not less than a year later, and it's the third printing. Like, it's incredible. I'm still blown away by it.
Not only that, I mean, you're continuing, you're touring with this, and I want to say, did this happen already, the tour convention with Larry Kenny?
So for everyone watching this right now, yes, this would have happened last weekend.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yes. Yes. So about 5 or 6 days ago, from everyone watching right now. Yes. I don't know. Because we're live right now.
Exactly. So, this is the future. Yes.
So, yes, I won't talk about how things went last weekend, but it was a great time, clearly, you know, and it was a fantastic, well, I will say thank you to Toy Depot and Geeking Out that had me out to that fantastic show, especially, I will say, like, in all seriousness, with all the craziness going on in California recently, like, with all of that, I'm not trying to take this in a very serious angle, because obviously I know none of us are, but the fact that, like, that's everything going on with all of that, and the fact that this toy show is going on, and there is at least being able to kind of, I know I don't want to say lighten the mood from that seriousness, but there are going to be some people that they kind of need this type of a thing, you know, kind of just yes. to not think about, or to take, not, I don't, again, that's not the right way to put it, but
escapism,
like, escapism, yes, to kind of get back into the nostalgia thing and everything, like, to the yes. fact that it's all that's happening again, an amazing thing to be a part of, and a good positive aspect of things.
It's something that, like you said, so true. I mean, current events aside, escapism is such yeah. a beautiful thing, and Thundercats clearly
yes.
is escapism for so many people. Just to
so many.
Bring up the book one more time,
yeah,
so
yeah.
the guide includes in-depth interviews with LJN toy designers, behind-the-scenes yes. stories, anecdotes from the making of Thundercats, the cartoon series, detailed production notes from Thundercats toys, I mean beyond detailed, and the merchandise, as well as a look at Thundercats cosplay and fan art, again, the fans. And
yes,
Sean has been, I remember our first conversation, you were just saying how much the fandom means, and on this 40th,
exactly, like, it's, here's a year now, like, so with the book, I'm still going out, I'm trying to celebrate this year as much as possible with fans all over, like, last year, again, while going out with the book, like you said, I was doing the touring, going to as many toy shows as I could, got to meet so many fans who, again, being able to share this passion with everybody, and, you know, I don't know what Warner Brothers has in mind, if they're doing anything, what other toy shows are doing, like, right now, this is a year, I hope Larry Kenny, Lynn Lipton, Peter Newman, I hope they're getting invited to toy shows, conventions, all over the country, because Thundercats fans are excited right now. I hope Warner Brothers does something. I know everyone is starting to get in their Cats Lairs from Super 7 right in time for us. People are excited about that. We've got the backer kits that's apparently for the Thundercats comic book, like, omnibus that
yes.
they're putting out. The Thundercats comic books, like the new series coming out, so fans are excited. So I'm continuing on trying to do as many toy shows that I can go to, just to continue celebrating with other fans, and even if it's just talking about Thundercats, which that's what I did last year. Like, it was funny because, you know, I'll do shows with, it was actually in the South Carolina show, it was Retro Toy Con put on by Toy Federation. I became friends with his name's Joey. He was at the table across from me, and he, like, by the end of it, he was like, dude, you've talked so much about Thundercats, I think I know everything about Thundercats now, because all you did for 8 hours of the show was talk about Thundercats with people. And that's what I love doing. So this year, I'm trying to continue that on and celebrate. Obviously, we can always celebrate as much as we can by
yes.
sharing our passion and talking about the aspects that we love and that type of stuff. So I'm trying to continue that on the best I can this year with, I hope, other people from around the country as much as I. So
oof.
If I'm going to be at a show by you, please come on out. Even if you already have the book, if you didn't like the toy, so you don't want to buy a book, I understand that. Come out and just talk Thundercats. I'm cool with that.
Oh, I love that.
This is a year we all need to celebrate. It's 40 years and we all still love it. Everyone celebrate as much as you can.
40 years, and I mean, we spoke about this, and you just mentioned Super 7 again. And
yeah,
who would have thought that they're literally making merchandise as we speak?
Right, right.
Like you said, the new comic series, mm-hmm. reprinting the 80s comic
yeah.
series 40 years later. And I wonder if this is the year that WB will do something.
I hope that would be great. I mean, even if it's just news, even if it's just news about a Thundercats movie that, you know, Adam Wingard was supposed to be involved
yes.
with, you know, like, just give us a little, like, not a trailer, nothing like that. Just like there's been some progress made. Give us a little something.
Yes, a little update would be nice, right? It's still going going on?
Even if it's a total lie. Just, we were not going to know if there's like, oh, yep, the script's been approved. Tell us that. And then we'll be able to go on for a year happy about that. Like, yeah, the script's been approved. True. Or, you know, oh my gosh.
Isn't that so true? That would boost us up for so long.
And I bet just sales across for Thundercat stuff would boost up again because they would have that excitement of just that little bit. So keeping my fingers crossed, you know, who knows? I don't know the workings behind Hollywood of when they kind of do that stuff or like just have somebody leak a little, just like, oh, something's been approved or it's in the final revision and should be approved by April or whatever. You know, just give us a little something.
I'm excited about the notion of it, but I'm just also cautiously optimistic of how they would actually do that.
Which we said the last time, not to be Cats the musical.
Right. Well, like I say, I think I said this before, and I apologize again for talking about, if it's the same thing I said on the last one, I apologize, but I do have faith in Adam Wingard because it's a passion project, and since the book was a passion project for me, I know, you know, if you're passionate about something, and just like this podcast, you both are passionate about it, and as we were talking off camera, the amount of work you put into it, I've got faith in Adam for it, you know. Now, obviously, things, you know, especially in Hollywood, you know, there's things that he may have no control over, you know. But again, if it's so a passion project, if they're giving him, hey man, it's a passion project, you want to do it, the ball's in your court, then you know what, I've got faith in it. So I'm here again. Not hear anything for another 5 years. Who knows? This is us kind of speculating right now.
Yeah, it might be canceled right now as we speak. Yeah. Knowing the way things
bite your tongue, with... bite your tongue.
No, I'm just thinking Masters of the Universe.
Yes,
movie.
You read my mind exactly.
The fact that Adam Wingard at least has a fandom and it's not Jared Leto as Mumra, maybe, you know, like, maybe we could at least get something along the lines, like, better than that.
Yeah, now, no offense to Jared Leto, but if he would be Mumra, that's when I'd get very quiet about the movie for a while, you know, until I was able to see it.
Yeah.
Get very quiet. But I'd watch it and then make a final decision after that. But yes.
So today is the actual 40th anniversary. The series pilot premiere, the two episodes debuting January 23rd of 1985, Exodus Part 1. Mm-hmm. That is a series. That pilot sets up the show so beautifully.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Honestly, when we started this journey four and a half years when we finally started doing Thundercats, it was a joy to say, like, this show not only is visually beautiful, but it still holds up story-wise, character-wise. I mean, it's not, you're looking back and going, oh no. This was like, oh, I thought this was amazing. Even, again, I'm sorry, I always bring up He-Man, but it's not He-Man. It's not, you know, like, continuously. It's funny. We laugh all the time at Mumra and all the stuff that he does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's such a well-written show.
Oh, yeah. So good. And like you said, the Exodus, it sets up everything so well. Like, they kind of fit a lot in there to explain, you know, what's, obviously, I know the first episodes are kind of supposed to do that, but the first episodes don't always do it so nicely, in my opinion. Obviously, I might be biased. I understand.
We all are.
But yeah, it's just so well done. Like, and it's a complicated, especially for a children's story, like cartoon. Yeah. There's a lot in that kind of thrown in there. And it's like, again, like, we were all hooked.
And 40 years later, we're still hooked.
Right.
So we did ask some of our bunglers just to write in a little thing of what they thought for the 40th. We got a few little ones. First off, our lovely Leah from Australia, someone who's been so supportive of us. And she supplies us, by the way, with the audio that we use for the episode. So a special shout out to Leah.
Well, thank you very much, Leah. That's awesome. The work you do. I know I since off camera, I told both of them how much I actually love the podcast and everything, what they do. So I want to thank you for the work that you do on the podcast for the audio. That's amazing.
I mean, what half the battle? I mean, early days, Sean, I was trying to find audio recorded to. Oh, what? That's a blessing in itself. Leah just says, happy anniversary to Thundercats, finally reaching their 40th. I can honestly say that my love of this show truly does come from the wonderful and passionate work that Ryan, David, and their many brilliant guests, well, here's one of them included, have done on this fantastic podcast. Thank you so much, Leah.
Thank you.
I think we speak for all the bunglers that without the work of the Radical Retro Rewind team, our fandom would be a great deal poorer. Aw. Thank you. You have brought us all together. Thank you. Happy 100th Thundercats episodes. Thank you for that. That's just amazing. My Rogers 5188 says, it's amazing that they've reached their 40th. Ally Usis 2584 says, Thundercats is the best show ever from 1985 to 1989.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, honestly, right. I could honestly say it is.
Yeah.
Leo Darden says, way before my time as a kid, me and my mom would watch it on VHS. She recorded it back when we had VHS tapes. Oh boy, we remember that.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. It was my mom's favorite cartoon. I fell in love with it as a kid. Then the 2011, they rebooted it. It was okay, but the 80s version was better. Thundercats, I got the whole collection of it, and I'm 30 years young. I love classic cartoons. I love that. Brought down from love the mother. It.
That's amazing.
Gary says, I turned 40 this year, which is just wild. Also, Gary, I'm coming with you. The Super 7 Cat's Lair release is very exciting. I forgot about this show, then rediscovered it in high school, and I have not stopped watching it ever since. It is definitely better than He-Man. Gary has been Hugh Skeletor again. Gary has been upscaling the episodes on his own, and he says it's really rewarding. I hope they do get an official release from the WB. Hopefully a full-length movie will happen. There we go. And it will inject life back into the property. Just like we were just talking about. That would be amazing. And our last one comes from Kostas. Hello, Kostas. He is our Greek bungler, all the way from Greece.
Nice.
Kostas says it's a timeless show, not just because the animation remains beautiful, the characters remain likable. So true. It's a timeless show because we still connect with it as adults, be it for different reasons. As a kid, we liked the bright colors, the cool action, and the upbeat music. But when you watch Thundercats as an adult, you find yourself relating to its messages, especially if you're now a parent or an uncle. And you can also seek that escapism, which we were talking about, that Thundercats provides when real life becomes too much. Wow, just talking about the words we were literally speaking earlier, right? That escapism. That is why we talk about this show with love on its 40th anniversary, and why we still do so much more in its 50th anniversary.
Yes.
As Thundercats fans, we will never outgrow the show, and it looks that way, right, gentlemen?
Wholeheartedly agree.
Yes. Like, 100%.
I think we talked about this off camera. It may have been on camera. I don't even remember, but like,
I know it's blurry. We had such great conversation off and on. I hope it merged right. Somewhere.
Right. Again, like Thundercats did so much for me while watching it as a child growing up, and it continues to from this point on. Again, getting to meet so many people, connect with so many people. So yeah, it's just going to keep doing that. I hope that is, you know, that again, it just continues on making my connection with Thundercats more and more better for another 10 years to the 50th and so on and so forth.
And hopefully by that 50th, we can say that Sean had a second book, something else. I feel like I'm still pushing for that second edition of the, like, the...
I can't say anything, but, you know, there has been works on some future projects. That's all I can really talk about now. Obviously, things kind of got sidetracked there for a bit with some things with me.
Yes.
But the work has been done before that as well. So we are continuing work on some things.
Oh, this amazing. Is exciting.
Attention, Thundercats fans! Prepare for the ultimate thrill with Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond. Embark on a global journey to unearth rare Thundercats figures from every corner of the world. Read the untold stories from brilliant minds behind the iconic Thundercats franchise, like Larry Kenny, Peter Lawrence, Jim Meskimen, and many more. Explore over 220 pages containing 2,000 plus captivating photos and uncover all the secrets of the Thundercats toys. Become the ultimate Thundercats expert and secure your copy of Hall of Omens, the unofficial ultimate guide to Thundercats toys and beyond today at ThundercatsToyGuide.com. Thundercats, ho!
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So yes, this is the 100th episode of Thundercats. Story-wise, there's nothing that, set it apart per se. It is very, there's differences compared to other episodes in the series. It could be because it's a William Overgaard script, mm-hmm. which, if you prefer Robert Roberto's Mexican Takeout, that was a famous William Overgaard brought line. So that's what we're working with. This is Exile Island. It is season 3, episode 10. It aired September 16th of 1988. Supposedly, I know that once we got past the first season, the air dates are a little mixed up and we don't know if that's the truth or not, but
yeah, they're kind of all over the place.
Possibly 1988.
Yeah. At one point in 1988, it was on someone's TV somewhere.
Like a local broadcast, who knows? Channel yeah. 55, whatever it was. Also, thank you to the Thundercats Wikipedia for the synopsis, and we have trivia this week as well, which is something Ooh. We always like to have if we can. It is described, gentlemen, as after being banished to the remote planet of Exile Island, or Isle, the Lunataks join forces with Captain Cracker to fly the entire planet to Third Earth.
Well, of course.
Why wouldn't they?
Exactly. I mean, that's the most logical thing to happen, honestly. I mean, if you get thrown onto a planet, fly it to somewhere else.
You know, Thundera has reformed, so stranger things have happened at this point in the series.
That is true.
And just a side note, so Captain Cracker, the last time we saw Captain Cracker, Mandora, of course, was there, and it was Mandora, and despite him saying that the Thundercats banished him here, we all kind of remember he was on the gray penile planet. So along the lines, Mandora might have said, you know, the penile planet's a little overflowed. Captain Cracker, please leave.
Or, you know, what I like to think, maybe there's still a Thundercats episode out there we didn't know about where he ended up. You know, there's still a story out there. Yeah. And the Thundercat, he got back to a Third Earth somehow. And the Thundercats ended up banishing him somehow. There's another story out there, maybe.
To your point, Buddha, I feel like the way this episode starts, it almost feels like there's a lost episode because we're introduced to Scooper. Yeah. And honestly, at first, I mean, it's been years since I had seen this season.
Yeah.
And I said, who the hell is Scooper? Because they acted like, the way it was written, I mean, of course, later on, we do find out that it's a gift, a birthday gift for the kittens by the Burbles. But they just kind of introduce you to Scooper and just like, it's here. Yeah.
Boy, it looks like Scooper smells something.
Lunataks!
Go get him, Scooper! Sick him! Scooper! Do something!
Freeze, kittens! Don't let that hound get away!
So Scooper is a robotic dog that was gifted to the twins. And strangely, Panthro has no idea about this.
Well, he was busy. You know, he's always tinkering and stuff. So he doesn't know what's going on. Like, the burbles gave him something. All right, another thing I got to fix. Great.
Yeah, you're right.
I was just going to say Luna was the same way. She's like, it's a flying dog.
Oh, in her Luna name.
Yeah, I can't do it. Because I'm just, for everyone listening, I have the flu right now. So I'm just like a little, that's why I'm a little bit off. But Scooper, I kept thinking is Pooper Scooper. I don't know like if that's where it came from, but like that's what, I just thought it was funny. Yeah.
It doesn't speak, but it has this screen.
Very docile.
Mm-hmm.
Very burble-like, non-confrontational. Yeah. I wonder what likes to procreate though. Because the burbles like to have many burbles.
Yeah, we always, Sean, we always say, how do the burbles repopulate? Do they build each other? Do they? Right. Who knows?
Right. Well, yeah, there are a good amount of them in the Burble villages. So that is a good question.
Isn't that why they had to leave their
the Robert planet? Because
the,
it was
the planet over, because
yeah,
it's overpopulated.
Say that. It was overpopulated.
That's right.
Like rabbits.
Stick to the candy fruit.
So, with all of their vehicles damaged or destroyed
by the Thundercats,
there's that missing episode. Maybe it involved Captain Cracker.
Well, I do know, in the serious aspect of things, there were episodes that were written that were never actually made it to TV, and they never actually happened. So, it is possible that there could be several episodes out there that it was like, oh yeah, we thought this was going to happen, but for whatever reason, it just didn't. So, yeah, it's very possible. There's, one, maybe more. Maybe some had Captain Cracker in it, which in my mind, at least one did, because it's Captain Cracker and they just need more Captain Cracker all the time.
And why wouldn't you use Captain Cracker when pirates are always cool?
Exactly. So, yeah, like robotic space pirates in the 80s? Yes.
Forget the Goonies. This is what we need.
Yes.
So, in order to know their location, they must ambush and capture Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. This is when we're introduced to Scooper. Scooper flies all the way back to the Tower of Omens, where Lionel, Lynxo, and Panthro are there, and they see something flying towards them. Something metallic.
We're getting a reading on an incoming object.
It's mechanical, and I'm getting a heat reading.
A missile?
No, I don't believe it is. He's going to come right through the glass.
Look out!
What is it?
A mechanical dog. It was a birthday present for the Thunder Kittens from the Burbles. They call it Scooper.
Then why aren't they with it?
That's a good question. This model has a built-in monitor. Watch, I'll ask. Scooper, where are the Thunder Kittens? Caught? By whom?
Bad guys? What does that mean? Who? Where?
And for some reason, they're at the tower today. Right. It's nice to see the Tower of Omens. Maybe we'll get a playset.
Ooh, right. I will say that was one I always wished, I know, especially like towards the end there, a lot of people were kind of either tuning out Thundercats or whatnot, but the Tower of Omens was something I always really liked. And again, like Bengali, Lynxo, Pumaira, I love them as the characters. Like I was still invested. I know other people weren't in any other, like even in the UK, a lot of people didn't even get that part of the cartoon. So they had no idea who they were. Like I always hoped that there would be a Tower of Omens like playset or something. That would have been so cool. And I was, well, again, the Cats Lair when I was a kid, that was too big. It was too much money. So I was like, well, maybe it could have been smaller and maybe I would have been able to get that one. That would have been a lot like, oh, cool. But yeah, that's just me.
I would have pictured just, it would have been like a short tower probably with a light that could have interacted almost with the light feature on the Cats Lair.
Right.
3D printer, people. 3D printer.
Yes, right.
That's all we got to do now.
Fans nowadays are just absolutely amazing. There's that fan. I wish I remembered his name, but the one that's making the Black Widow sharks.
Yes. On Instagram, Nick from Thundera.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes. Nick, amazing guy. And yeah, the Black Widow sharks and all the different scales, what he's doing.
Yes. I
might be wrong, but he might actually be sold out of them by now. If not, he's very limited on what he has, but like they are incredible. So good. The light of eyes, they're so good.
And like you said, there's different sizes. You're right. There's like larger sizes, smaller. So good. So
yeah,
good.
He's got them for you. The LJN line. I think he's got them for like the mini. He's got all. I love the fact that he did it because the Black Widow shark is that was always something I always wanted as a toy. That was I'm not a custom person. I can't do it. But it was always something I wanted to do because it was kind of like it would be cool. I was like, oh, if I can just get a shark, especially back then, you would always get sharks. You could just in my mind it was easy until I tried it and realized, nope, that's not easy. So again, the fact that
glue some tarantula plastic tarantula legs on the side.
Yeah, right. But yeah, Nixon is like next level what he did. It was so well done.
Even looks like it has like a furry chest.
Yeah, right.
Please look that up on Instagram if any bungers are out there are interested. It's amazing. The twins are captured, and then we have this scene with the Lunataxx where they are questioning them and they're threatening Muck will squish them, basically. And Wiley Kit says she will not give it up. And then Wiley Cat says something like, oh, look up there, Luna. And he does the old look up, but it's actually the Thunderstrike, I want to say. Is it the Thunderstrike?
I do believe so, yeah. I don't remember.
Yes, I think it is, right? Because she wants to know, because now they're saying they're going to steal the Thundercats' vehicles. And she's like, you look like the smart one. He says, I'm going to whisper it in your ear.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And then he's like, look up.
You look like a smart boy, Wily Cat. I bet you can tell me where the Thunderstrike is.
Well, I might.
Wily Cat, you wouldn't.
Why not? There's no sense in getting hurt over this. Lean down, and I'll whisper it. There!
But she's okay with it, Luna. She's like, yeah, sure. Whisper it in my ear for some reason.
I actually wanted to bring up to the point that you're right about like these missing episodes, but I like the fact that I loved seeing the Lunataxx almost pretty much humbled at this point. They're complaining that they have to walk because they're tired of walking because they have no vehicles. It's like where is Skytomb?
Skytomb, right?
Like, is that destroyed too? Like, what? Like, it shows to me like we've missed a lot of stuff, or a lot of stuff has happened because of the fact that the Thundercats have pushed them back. Like, finally, you're in your place now. You've talked a good game. You acted like you're so good and so amazing and so better than everybody else.
And now they're wandering.
Now you're basically wandering. Trying to steal all the people's cars.
I didn't even think of Skytomb. So maybe it ran out of Thundrillium and they have... The mines have been closed.
Where was it? I don't remember. It doesn't even have the actual name. Like, Chilla's, was it the Ice Runner or whatever that was called?
The Ice Runner, yes.
Where was that? That was the one vehicle that was kind of just randomly there and randomly not. And that was one, again, I love because I also really like Chilla. So yeah, where was that? Like, there's information we need to know. There's stories somewhere.
What do you gentlemen think? I honestly felt like this was extremely anticlimactic that the Lunataxx were captured in two nets. One net for everyone but Luna and Amok, and then one more net for Luna. Just like a net after all of these episodes, it was a net, a Chitara net.
It was good enough for Chitara.
I know, she gets captured in Chitara nets all the time, but I mean, all it took, man, all they needed was a net and the Lunataxx on surface, I guess.
Well, again, maybe for some reason, the Lunataxx have been powered down in some way, shape, or form, you know? Again, there's who knows? There's got to be something. Because, nets are a little bit of a... That's kind of an easy... they just went fishing and picked up the Lunataxx.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the Balkans fishing nets. They're just out there. 100 episodes in, gentlemen, and we finally see a Thundarian court system that's randomly... Now, is this the tower or is this the cat's lair that this is in?
I'm going to say the tower because that's where everything was kind of situated. And I watched the episode, I believe it was the last week or something like that, just to, again, familiarize with me. And there's like the ruling council on the side where they have, I think it's like, where there's warrior maidens there. There's a couple different like people.
Like a Balkan.
I loved it. I thought this, I loved the whole... the whole court tribunal thing with the large Thundercat symbol. I thought it was like super cool. It's like the council of like, it kind of also solidified all of their like intertwined relationships with all the other people of
the
Third
council
Earth.
Of Third Earth or whatever the Third Earth is.
Yeah.
Which shows that that arc and that progression of the relationships they've made over this time, that they really are organized.
And starting some kind of government, I guess. I mean, or the start of it.
Yeah, they're all banded. That's the other. Yeah, they're all kind of banding together. It's not just the Thundercats deciding what's going on. It's everybody being like, okay, well, here are the bad guys. What do we do? Everybody's got a vote here. Like, you know, like it was cool seeing that. But yeah, like, where is that? Is it the Tower of Omens? Is it another location that we don't know?
Built by the Burbles, guaranteed. Either
100%, way, 100%.
Always working. To David's point, Lynxo was on this gigantic judge platform, and Panthro's off to the side almost like he's a lawyer of some kind. I don't know if he was in defense of the Lunataxx because they give you a lawyer. And then the best is this technology. So again, after 100 episodes, they're banished by Lion-O, and they literally like beam me up, Scotty. Like it's like very Star Trek. They have this transporter that transports them off planet. So why don't they do this to New Thundera?
They got it from Mumra.
I mean, honestly, because this would avoid them ever having to interplanetary planet or whatever travel.
Yeah, the feliner would just be able to be parked in the garage and just kind of, you know, chilling.
Exactly. Exactly. So again, I feel like we missed some stuff. Transportation devices.
Yeah, there were some advancements episodes where we're not keen to right yet. Or yeah, they're somewhere.
That's right. The Thundercats then decide in their court to banish the Lunataxx to a distant and uninhabitable planet.
You Lunataxx refuse to live in peace and abide by the laws for the good of all. Therefore, we must punish you. What is their sentence?
There is only one humane sentence for them and for us. Exile.
Very well, it shall be done.
Where have you sent them, Lion-O?
Far, far away.
A tiny planet called Exile Isle.
And there's no way for them to escape?
No. No way at all.
So when they arrive there, guess who's living in a shack?
I will say real quick, not to cut you off, but it's an inhabitable planet. It's kind of a, wow, that's kind of messed up. You're going to send them there. Like, no one can live here. It's going to be awful. We're going to send you there. Wait, I'm sorry, what?
You're probably you're right. Bye. That's very off brand for them.
Right, right.
Out of sight, out of mind, though.
Well, yeah, I will say, you know, granted, I'm not part of the ruling council of Thundera, Third Earth, but maybe they deserve it. They've been, you know, a thorn in the side for quite some time. Who knows what they've been doing to the Burbles and the Balkans and everyone over this time.
Ryan knows how I feel.
Oh, you would have just killed them. He always says, kill them immediately.
Kill them immediately when you get the chance.
You know how many times he said, behead Mumra?
I would have said, I always tell him, I am not a Thundercat. I don't have to do all that. Loyalty, justice, don't kill anybody.
It's horrible.
That's it. You're done.
What do our bunglers take away from this?
I'm violent.
Which is not how you are in real life. So I just love that this brings it out in you. You're like, kill them
because it makes me so angry that, like, I know sometimes taking the right
high road,
the high road is a hard thing, but like, they're never going to change. So like, yeah, banishing them is probably the best thing, but I'm going to go one step further. We've always talked about this, how Third Earth is actually our planet Earth in its third kind of go around. So I'm saying that the Isle is actually Pluto.
Oh, you think it's Pluto?
It's a tiny dwarf planet. We've kind of now said it's not a planet. It is a planet. It's not a planet. It's far away. So I don't know why I'm even throwing out there, but I always imagine it as being Pluto. It's the furthest. It's like a little tiny.
It's tropical. It has palm trees.
Well, things change.
I like that.
But as we find out on the episode, they are mechanical trees.
Like that. So Cracker was busy. Cracker and Polly, we can't forget Polly.
Of course.
Were busy on this planet. Captain Cracker, great character that Buddha loves, but that accent always gets me with that pirate talk. I don't even know what you say. Pirate talk.
Yeah, the pirate isms. Like
pirate isms. Yes, thank you.
I will say this, so like talking about Captain Cracker, one of the things, so by this time in the series, he's kind of changed the character a little bit where in the the very beginning, he kind of almost was a little bit more serious. He was still kind of a goofy guy, but at this time he's more of a, I don't want to say he's a joke, but you know what I mean? He's definitely not like the fearsome pirate Captain Cracker, where in the beginning they kind of gave him more of that type of a vibe. And that is one thing I wish they would have continued on with, where if he would have been more of a, you know, more of an actual villain towards them, where it would be like, go into like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, is it Barbossa? Where it's like, he's a more of a fearsome pirate. And if they would have kept Captain Cracker with that type of a vibe throughout it, well, again, even Barbossa, he still is a little bit, he still got jokes. He's still a little funny, you know, they kept him a little bit like that. But yes, by this time now in the series, Captain Cracker isn't really the fearsome pirate that Mandora is searching. And he's like, he's done all these things around things. He's kind of just like the cracker that you kind of laugh at, like, oh, this guy. Oh, okay. But again, I also get that in cartoons, they're trying to make him more of a lighthearted nature for kids and whatnot. I just wish they would have left him more of a, you know, the fearsome pirate of the galaxies and the universe or whatever. It was still fun in this episode.
But you're right with that, Sean, because I think that by this season, they really made everyone, all of the villains, up their comedy level.
Yeah.
They were just so unserious. So I definitely think Cracker was definitely added into that. It just seems like they got lighter and lighter and lighter with their villains.
Yeah, yeah.
We started here so dark with those early episodes are just, oh my God, unbeatable compared you know.
And I will say, maybe that is the point. It's like, even till this day, I will fight this point to anybody. Mumra is still a scary villain. Like, so when you have a villain that dark, maybe that was kind of the thing. Like, okay, guys, we get it, but we got to lighten up some of these people because this guy's pretty dark and scary. So just
terrifying.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Mumra does retain that.
Yeah.
I mean, Mumra softened him a little.
Yeah,
but
right,
he
right.
is still visually like ghastly if you think about it.
Right. And it does say by this point in the series, it is more of a kid's cartoon where, you know, when Thundercats started, well, yes, it is a kid's cartoon. It was more of a, it was adulty for a kid's cartoon.
Yes.
That may not be the right wording, but like it was a lot more mature. And then by this point, it's not as mature. It's more of just like a lighthearted kind of cartoon now.
But then still giving us these unique plots. I thought this one was definitely unique in many ways. So together, the villains, Lunatax meet Captain Cracker. And again, he mentions that he was banished here by the Thundercat off camera at some point.
Watch this, guests.
Oh, me matey!
Why, Captain Cracker, I'm a fearless fighter and all-around good fella.
He's nothing but a beat-up old robot.
I wouldn't say that, girlie. I'm a famous pirate hereabouts.
Okay, Captain Cracker. Is there any way off this rock?
None. Ships won't come near it, and there's no radio to communicate with anyone.
Oh, we have a radio.
You do? Well, no. That changes everything.
Together, the villains use the giant bellows to cover the entire planet in a fog. And then they get this, now, excuse me, I want to say Zalam Queen spaceship tanker? Or Zalam? Very Silverhawks, these characters, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Space people that, by the way, it's full of a highly explosive gas. And they do this SOS message. And nicely enough, these people were going to try to save them on this planet.
Can you hear me? Please help.
What's that?
Mayday! Mayday! Mayday!
This is the space tanker Zalam Queen. Where are you?
My coordinates are 0689er Holly.
Hang on. We're coming.
At the last minute, they realize they're going to crash. They use an injectable, you know, spaceship. And now this spaceship has crash landed on Exile Isle. The crash shifts the planet, I forgot this, out of the normal orbit. Mm-hmm. And Captain Cracker uses the crash ship's rockets to guide the planet in the direction of Third Earth. There's an insult at one point by Luna. I really love this. You broken down old robot, because she sees that the tanker crashed on this planet. But Cracker had a plan. He's a smart one, that Cracker.
Exactly. Like, even though he's been kind of, he's been toned down a bit. Yeah, he had a pretty diabolical, some might say, plan to, it was all going according to plan as well. You know, he got the ship there, crashed where he needed it to get the rockets going. Everything going according to Captain Cracker's plan, which, yeah, I'm just saying, he's a pretty smart guy.
That's true. To orchestrate this whole thing, the crash, the perfect place for it to crash.
Yeah. Like, and all he needed was a radio, which Luna happened to have. She happened to have a radio. That's all he's been waiting for. Then boom, the dominoes started falling right as he needed them to.
Madam, the smack from that tanker knocked us out of our regular orbit.
You're right. We're drifting in space.
Now, all we have to do is fire those engines up and they'll push us home.
So had he been given the proper tools all this time, there could have been a yes. whole lot of more Cracker, like you said yes. earlier. So Snarfer is traveling back from a trip, I guess, maybe, God knows, New Thundera, possibly.
He does a lot of traveling, Snarf. Like, yes, he does. He's always cruising around in his ship. Always.
That ship that has, what a design.
Oh,
that
ship. Yes.
That cute little Snarfer ship. Oh, he's out. You're right. He's always out there driving.
Do we have anybody near that area?
Snarfer is coming back from a turnaround to Thundera. He could be detoured.
Snarfer, can you read me?
Yep, sure can. Reading you loud and clear, Witcher.
See if you can locate Exile Isle. It's fallen out of orbit.
Oh, no sweat, Panthro. We'll do. Over and eat.
So they ask him if he could kind of go close to this planet and see what's happening.
Yeah, because go check things out, Snarfer. Yeah, there's some villains that have been terrorizing Third Earth for a very long time. An intergalactic pirate that we've had problems with in the past. But Snarfer, you can check it out, right? You got it. Just cruise by real quick.
And did you know instantly, though, as soon as this happened, that you knew? I was like, oh, Snarfer's ending up on that planet. That's it.
Well, of course, as all this, as a Snarf would. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. There's no Snarf in this, you know, Snarfer.
Exactly. So we had to go, instead of Snarf, it was going to be Snarfer this time around, but you know.
So Snarfer gets sucked in. He also crashes on this planet, and there is this really cute scene where he runs into Cracker. Is it Cracker? Yeah, right? I want to say he runs into Cracker, and he's like, what are you? And he's like, I work for the, I'm a Thundercat, and that was it. And
so they're the ones who banished me to this planet. He was going to let him go at that point.
Honestly, maybe Cracker isn't as bad. He has a soft spot.
No, I'm going to disagree with that. I think Cracker is very much the, to me, personifies that pirate sort of vibe, that character, because he's got that kind of like almost like always drunken swagger, but he is cutthroat. He is cutthroat. He would kill you in a heartbeat to get what he needs. So I don't know. I feel like he would slit your throat in about 5 seconds to get what he wants if he needs to. It's just like at the time, he's like, I'm just going to, he's got that almost not the Johnny Depp. Like flailing, you know.
Yeah, right.
But like, I think he's pretty like, he's able to switch like this from one to another.
Oh, yeah. And smart. Very smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thinking ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I do think he, you know, especially earlier on when how they would describe him back then, he did seem like he's a cutthroat type of, well, robot. Like, he did what he had to do when he wanted to. That's the other thing. Kind of like you said, like the Johnny Depp thing. Like, if he doesn't need you, he doesn't care. Whatever. Right. Yeah, fine. But, oh, if you're a part of my plan, now I need you. Now you're going to, now I got to use this situation to my ability or, to my whatever. Yeah.
And smart. yeah. using Snarfer now, because he knows that they'll come for Snarfer, of course.
Yep. Yeah.
I made it!
No! What be you?
I'm a Snarf, sir, and proud to be at the service of the Thundercats.
The Thundercats? It was those dirty dogs, cats, that put me on this stinking island.
Well, it's been nice meeting you, but I better be going.
Come back here, you fuzzy lover.
Speaking of that, back in the Tower of Omens, Lion-O decides he is going to on a rescue mission by himself. And now, oddly, to me, this was an odd choice.
Yes.
He leaves the Sword of Omens. Now, Panther was all for this because he was like, oh no, Snarf, if this explodes, the Eye of Thundera will explode with it. And I'm thinking, honestly, I think the Eye of Thundera would make a gigantic bubble and, you know, like it would
protect Lion-O.
I feel like it would, or it would somehow extend, as we've seen it, it's something. It would do something. It's a very dramatic scene. And you know what? Since we are in the 100th episode, you know, something different. Something different for the plot, you know, seeing Lion-O leave the sword.
Yeah, it is. It's a strange choice, but yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, maybe too. Maybe Lion-O's, you know what? Hey, it's only the Lunatics and Captain Cracker. I'm not going to need the sword, guys. Like, I got this. I got my shoulder bag. We're good. Yeah.
He was hot to trot, as they would say with
I
that
packed,
bag.
I packed my lunch. I went to the taco stand. I went to Subway and got a foot long.
So speaking of that bag, so maybe he was kind of like, I could take this on because we just captured them with nets.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have vehicles. They don't have weapons. So really, what do they have besides like their innate ability? Like, you know, like Chilla had, I don't know if she can still freeze things or
well,
whatever,
yeah, she could, because speaking of that, one of Buddha's favorites.
Well, we like Chilla. I would not let her drive me anyplace.
But...
unless I had too much to drink and then I wouldn't even realize what was going on.
Your designated driver. He runs into Chilla, and honestly, this is my favorite scene of this episode where he throws rock salt on her.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's this? Like,
I'm melting.
It actually looks horrific looking.
Yeah.
And painful.
Yeah.
She's like, what is this? Some kind of new device? And he's like, oh no, it's as ancient as, I don't even know. It's like what we're doing now. We're throwing ice. We're just mentioning shoveling snow and everything off camera. Yeah.
If I didn't know better, I'd swear that was Lion-O of the Thundercats. But where's the famous sword?
Chilla.
And without that sword to defrost my powers, what will keep me from turning you into a snow cone? What is that? Stop! You're melting me! What is that? A secret formula?
No, Chilla, an ancient one. Rock salt.
No, not that. Anything but rock salt.
Rock salt? In that bag. Who knew?
Yeah, like that's all the Thundercats needed all this time to take out Chilla. That's it.
That was the best. You know, first, didn't they give her antifreeze the last time,
yes,
too? They gave
yes,
her.
Yes.
They love to poison Chilla.
Yeah, seriously. That, I was about to say, that's pretty horrific. Like, you know, yeah. Here, drink this. She'll be fine. Like, that'll take care of her. It certainly will. I mean, she won't be a problem after that, guys. You're right.
Like, now she's melted. Half, yeah. Half there, half not.
Oh, my
the
God.
Boys.
Right. Now inject her with bleach.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, out of everything. Poor Chilla. So along the same lines, Aloro comes next. Another amazing scene.
So good. It's so good in the silliest way possible, which I love. Like, I'll let you go continue, but it's so funny.
I love it.
He does his Aloro thing, you know. Oh,
but now it's out of his belt. It's out of his like eye belt.
No, it was like a chest, right? Wasn't it on
Wasn't
his
it?
Chest?
It
was
it a belt buckle?
Yeah.
It was like a.
It wasn't the ball. It wasn't the normal, you know, ball of Aloro.
Yeah. But then he just comes out talking as smoothly as Aloro always does, you know? Just smooth. I love him, man. He's smooth. And, well, it's a little different.
Oh, my God. It's so funny, though, because,
he's like, I have a lie detector.
I know. Did you ever see... Do you see those commercials on YouTube now with, the things that you can put in to translate in real time? He's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to take out this right now, and I'm going to translate what you're saying. Like, okay, tell me what he's saying.
I'm just going to say Thundercats inspired that technology we have today to translate in real time.
Clearly they did.
They watched that episode like, that's genius. We need to start working on this immediately, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Good to see you. Thank heaven you got rid of that nasty Chilla. If you just follow me, I'll help you capture the others. Just let me guide you. I'm your friend. Are you going to sprinkle salt on me too, Lionel?
No, this is a lie, translator. Let's hear what you really said.
Just as soon as Lionel's guard is down, I'll bash him with the Cyclop. That's my voice.
And that's what you were really thinking.
And this is what I'd really like to do.
The translation comes out so smooth as well in that Aloro voice. And Sean, do you know the actual, because I should have.
I forget the exact wording, but it's like Aloro being like, oh, no problem, Lionel, I'll help you, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm going to translate what you really just say. It's like, oh, as soon as Lionel turns around, I'm going to hit him in the back of the head or something. Like that. It's so like, and it's his voice and everything. And it's just like, wait, what? Like that genius.
I'm going to bash him in the head.
Maybe it is bash. And it's just done. Of course, we'll play the clip, but it's done so beautifully. It's so funny. Just
so good. Yo, yeah.
So he gets hogtied, I wrote. Lionel just just ties him up. Oddly enough, the only other Lunatac that appears is Luna and Amok.
Well, yeah, that's right. Was Tugmug, he wasn't with them originally when they banished them, were they? I don't remember if he was or not.
I feel like they might have had a shot with him, but then that could have just been like a stock.
Yeah, right.
Here's a close-up of the Lunatacs together.
Okay, yeah, because I was trying to, I didn't watch it last week or whatever.
That's
I don't remember.
True. Because I feel like you wouldn't not have him speak with that Tugmug voice.
Yeah, right.
Luna.
Unless the voice actor had the day off. Like, he was off. I forget who was the voice actor for him, but if he wasn't booked that day, so I'm like, oh, all right, take Tugmug out. He's like, don't draw him in this one.
We recently had that when Mumra, we said, was out of the office that day. It was like, yeah. Luna. Do you remember this day that Luna was like, thanks, Mumra? And it was just his coffin laughing. It was just,
yeah.
Like, there we go. Yeah. Mumra was off that day.
Yeah, he left early. He had to leave, you know, he had to catch the early train. He was like, oh, sorry, you're on your own. It's whatever.
Luna says to Lionel, what else you got in that bag? And they all notice, by the way, he has no sword. I guess the first thing they do is look at the claw shield when they see Lionel, because they're all commenting, oh, you don't have your sword today. There's something different about you, Lionel.
Well, you know what? I will say, as a villain, that's actually good for them to notice, because as soon as the sword comes out, no matter who you are, you're screwed. So, like, if you don't have it, you're like, yeah, all right. Well, hey, he doesn't have the sword. We're fine. Lionel's like, yeah, he's strong.
Exactly. Yeah, this is... This is doable. This might be doable.
Yeah, there's like 10 of us. We got this. It's only Lionel. He doesn't have the sword. He's got his claw shield. We're good. So no sword. All right. Yeah, I would be noticing. So good for them for actually paying attention to that thing, you know?
That is very true. I didn't even think of that. See?
Yeah. Yeah, because again, the sword, no matter what you needed, the sword was able to do at any given point, even if you never saw it do it. So if you're a villain, you learn that. So they're learning. They're like, okay, it doesn't matter. So, hey, you don't have it. Hey, guys, we got a shot, everybody. All right. Everyone band together.
And he's off Earth. He's off Third Earth. There's a chance.
No other Thundercats. The planet's going to where they want everything. Captain Cracker's plan. Everything's going according to plan. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Can I ask you guys how they thought they were going to stop the planet from crashing into Third Earth?
I don't think they cared.
Yeah. I don't think Captain Cracker cared. He's like, I'm just going to destroy Third Earth. If it takes me out too, whatever.
He's just going down with the ship.
Because they could potentially take that ship, the Zalem, Zalem, Slam, Slam. Maybe it was like Slam Gas. slam, because it sounded like they were saying slam gas. Anyway.
She was carrying a full load of slam gas. That's deadly stuff.
Luna threatens that there's no possible way that a Muck could be taken down because he has no weakness like the other one. And for some reason, Lyanna goes, ha! You don't know that they love candy.
Lyanna's had an ego from the very, very beginning, all right? So, you know, even that's probably why he went to there without the sword. Because his ego, he's like, oh, please, I got this. And now another thing, the ego coming out, like, oh, please. He's strong, sure, but yeah, I got a pocket full of candy, all right?
I got candy through candy canes here. Yeah. Who knew?
I don't think so, Luna.
I suppose you've got something in that bag that a Muck can't stand.
This is something they can't get enough of. In fact, they go crazy over it. Candy.
And again, I want to say, for the 100th episode, we are seeing a difference between that boy cub, as Mumra affectionally calls him, right. to this very secure, yeah, hero. Great
but
point.
Maybe too secure, because he's got that comfort of the Sword of Omens, and now he doesn't
so
have
true.
It, which this is, it would have been nice for him to have a little bit more difficulty, because like, hey man, you don't have the sword, but,
yes.
You know, but yeah, obviously things do change later. I'm getting ahead of myself. I know things, I'll let you continue, sorry, before
oh,
I...
Oh, no, not at all, but that's
oh no, we do that all the time. We
yeah, nothing new. Moving right along.
Hey kids, this is Lion-O inviting you to share all the exciting adventures of the Thundercats. Join Panthro the Deadly, Tigra the Invisible, Chitara the Quick, Wile E. Cat and Wile E. Kid, and Jaga the Wise as we do battle with Mumra and his band of mutants.
Oh sure, just forget about me.
I was just saving the best for last, Snart. So join me for all the action here in Amarillo weekdays at 4 on TV 14. Channel 14. Ho!
Now the Lunatics are taken care of, and Lion-O goes after Captain Cracker, finally.
He doesn't have a chance if this was any other, you know, without the Sword of Omens, Lion-O does not have a chance. I'm sorry.
Like Sean mentioned earlier, those robotic mechanical palm trees are now
yes.
activated.
I love yes. it. I love it. And Snarfer's like, do palm trees normally walk?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Cracker, up the ladder and...
Lion-O, have you ever seen a walking palm tree?
What are you talking about?
What do you suppose it's gonna do?
Well, it's not going to present you with a coconut, matey.
I do want to bring this up because we're talking about the palm trees again. We got to that part of the episode. One of the other reasons I actually really like this episode, this has happened
yes.
much later. So Dennis Woodyer, he was actually one of the, I believe he was also a secondary character designer and a designer on Thundercats. I actually had the chance to interview him and talk to him a little while ago about some things. He's an amazing, he's such a nice guy, but he's actually one of the, he actually designed those palm trees. He was the artist that designed them and everything like that. And I was talking to him because, you know, the fact that I was, he came into the Thundercats season, like series towards the end. I think he started on episode like, oh, Dennis, I'm sorry for not remembering, but it was like probably like maybe around 96 or something like that. And then he was on for the rest.
Relatively close to this 100th then.
Yeah. And he worked on that one specifically. He did that. He did the pine tree. He also did, I forget the name of the machine, but the machine that spit out the dust into the, it's actually very cool. If you both haven't, and anyone watching now, don't do it right now. Do it later after this episode. But on YouTube, Dennis, he has a YouTube page where he shares, he still has a lot of the original artwork that he had.
Wow.
And like copies of it. And he actually has the pine tree. So like, and he does videos where he puts this stuff out and you can actually watch it.
Wow.
It's really cool. Yeah. I forget the exact link to his YouTube. I think it's like Dennis Woodyard Dragonfly ENT. And he does Thundercat review things, not reviews, but like videos that has a lot of his artwork on it. So
that's
it's very
amazing.
Cool seeing a lot of the original sketches. But yeah, I got to talk to Dennis about this particular episode and the palm trees and all of that. And seeing the fact that that stuff still exists and copies of it is just so incredible to me. And I'm sure I think you guys also feel that
oh
same way. Just
goodness.
Again,
yeah,
here we are.
History. anniversary.
Yeah, and 40 years later, here we are, and that stuff is still out there, and you can see it. When you're a kid, you never even thought about it. You didn't even care. But now that we're older, seeing that kind of stuff is so cool. But I definitely recommend checking out his videos. But yeah, he got to work on it, and seeing that stuff, again, the pine trees with the wheels cruising along. Again, Dennis, if you're watching this, I apologize. He's actually shared one of the things we had put out before. But yeah, there's also, I forget the name of that dust blower thing. I think there's one, maybe one other. He also designed the shoulder bag. He was the artist that drew
the shoulder bag. You go. That's...
Yeah, and I think there's maybe one or two other little things he was the artist of on the episode. But after, you know, being able to talk to Dennis, and this being Captain Cracker episode, this really also really started to get to the man. I'm connected to this episode no matter what now.
Is it called The Giant Bellows?
Yes, I think you're right. Or it's like, I think it's something Bellows. Yeah, it might be The Giant Bellows. Yeah, and I know Bellows is in the name of it. Like, there may be a larger name.
Yeah.
But yeah. Again, the palm trees, the tops of them having blades all of a sudden now and coming after them. Like, again, it's so fun to watch that, and it's silly, but it's such a cool, fun idea. Because yeah, there's palm trees on this island that it is strange when you think about it. Like, why is there a palm tree here? Oh, because Captain Cracker designed it to kill you. That's why.
Like, that's the joy of Thundercats. Like, this unique. Yeah. Just to get back to that, that's like another full circle moment that you're talking about. The palm trees with the actual artist, and now you're...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That is just...
Between that, like that, and then also getting to talk with Jim Meskimen that actually designed Captain Cracker. He was the artist that drew him. Like, again, cool. he's not to shamefully promote the book, but there is the interview with him inside the book.
No, please.
That was so, for me, being able to talk to him, like being able to talk to Jim, then Dennis, like people that actually were involved in Captain Cracker episodes, it's surreal. Like I said, the Thundercats doing all of this stuff for me all these years later. Even again, like, this is stuff that not other people, like, oh yeah, man, that's cool, whatever. Like, but there's definitely an emotional and sentimental aspect for me. It's like,
yes,
it's wild. Yes. You know, like, because I know some people, there are fans that don't care for Captain Cracker. I respect your opinion, but you're wrong. But But like, you know, like, they may not care, but it's like, I got to talk to the actual guy that designed him, it drew him originally, and then all guys that worked on aspects of the cartoon. Like, it's wild. It's incredible. It really is.
And it's a testament to your work. So I am so glad you are able to talk to these people that would mean so much to you.
Thank you. And I will say, I never expected it. These were all shots in the dark I took. It was like a fingers crossed type thing. Like, hey, well, I will say, so I talked to Dennis after the book was already released, and Jim, this was kind of when I was still in the, like, hey man, so I'm doing this thing, like, I'm doing this book, and he was right on board. And then Dennis actually came about later. At this point, I know he's Peter Lawrence, if you're familiar, Peter, but like, I'm friends with him on Facebook, and Peter's actually shared the book and stuff on Facebook, so Dennis got to see him sharing it and stuff, so that kind of, like, I think helped Dennis kind of open up a little with me a little bit more, which was really cool. Like, I told him, I sent Dennis out a book. I was like, hey Dennis, man, I just wanted to say, for everything you did on Thundercats, I wanted you to have this. I was like, I know the toys weren't really your thing, but this is, I just wanted you to have, you know? And then we got to talking, then I told him about this other thing I'm working on, which he's involved with, so I was able to talk to him about it. Ooh. And we were able to talk about some thing again, you know, I've been talking around things, but yeah, I will say, the book did open that door to Dennis, and Peter really helped that coming through, which was, I've explained to my mom some of this stuff where it's like, who would have thought, you know, 40 years later, when she was putting on Thundercats for me to shut me up for a half an hour.
Yes.
Like, oh, well, yeah, mom, look, the guy that was writing them is commenting on the thing and sharing it. Or if you guys don't follow Larry Kenny on Facebook, you need to, because he's the nicest gentleman alive. Yes. But he wishes fans happy birthday. Every single person, he wishes happy birthday. So it's like, oh, yeah, mom, look, here's Lionel wishing me a happy birthday on Facebook. Having that as a fan, I think, is just a coolest thing in the world. Like, because you're thinking about, like, back when you were whatever it was, between the ages of 4 and 10, the person you idolized, and you know, we may not idolize them like we used to, but we still have that, you know, we're like, it's Lionel, having that connection.
Oh my God, yes.
It's so cool.
I'm so glad that that happens to someone like you that would appreciate that. It's something like when we were talking off camera about the getting a voice actor that you've been listening to for your entire life. It's just unbeatable. And it is something like that. Like, I told our parents, like, like, oh, this, you know, we got the or we said like Lion-O doesn't, you know, like I totally get that. And I think it's just a beautiful thing that you were able to do this and have those experiences. And now it's growing into another project. So it's even more amazing.
Well, I don't want to take us off track here, but anyone watching this, but the both of you as well, I want to say this. If you haven't, this is the 40th anniversary right now. So if you know, Larry, Lynn, Peter, if they're going to be at shows around you, try to go to them.
Yes.
And honestly, like, I know people, like, you may feel weird telling them all this, but go to them, especially now too. Like, they are older. I've been at a couple shows with them. Seeing how much they truly appreciate talking to fans and hearing that emotional thing about how much Thundercats meant to them or as a kid and whatever. 40th anniversary. If you haven't done it yet, even if you have, do it again this year, but go talk to them. And if they're not going to be around you, it's fine. Larry, he's on social media.
Yes.
You send him a message. He will get back to you. Like, it may take him a little while, but he will get back to you. Like, that's the first time I ever talked to Larry was when Facebook first came out. And I randomly looked him up and I was like, holy crap, it's Larry. Not even knowing if it was the real thing. And, you know, I wrote this whole big thing.
Yeah.
Doing the whole, like, explaining everything about me and why it meant so much to me. And I sent it, you know, I sent him the message. Never expected to hear back from him. Then, like, a week later, he hits me back and messaged me back. And then he's like, hey, man, what's your address? And then he sends me out an autographed picture and stuff. And, like, so, like,
wow.
If you guys have it, if you guys have it, anyone watching, just do it. Just send them the message. Because, you know, especially, granted, you know, when you're younger, people may just kind of like, oh, whatever. But now, especially now that some of them are older, this stuff means more to them probably than it ever has.
Yes.
So, and yes. Now's the time to let them know. And even being able to tell these people that, like you said, you may not think anything of it at the time until you get to do it. And you're like, dude, I just got to talk to Lion-O or Tigra or Chitara. And whatever it is, like getting to tell your brother, maybe your brother didn't get to do it, or your sister, or, you know, if parents are still alive and you get to tell them, or cousins, being able to share that experience with them, it's still continuing a Thundercats deeper connection.
Yes.
That you don't even really think about until you have it. You know what I mean? Like, so I can't explain or push this enough. Everyone, this is the 40th anniversary. If you haven't done it, this is the year to do it right now.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But yes, I honestly, just everyone, you need to do it. Even if it's just a written message on Facebook or to an email address, whatever it is, I highly recommend.
I was lucky enough to go maybe 2 years ago to a convention with one of our friends here, Zach, out in New York here. And it was supposed to be Larry, Peter, and Lynn. Lynn got injured, but I was able to, you know, talk to Larry. Oh my God, red in the face though. I was like, after the picture I took, it's like, I might as well have just been this color. Right. But I mean, he was the sweet, like you said, he's the sweetest man, but it's just like, I just talked to Lion-O. So that feeling does never go away. So
yeah. And it's going to be, you know, it's, you know, we all remember what it was like watching Thundercats 40 years ago. And now whatever, however old we are in our 40s, late 30s, whatever it is, you now have yet another feeling that again is going to rest you the rest of your life, being able to have that memory where, okay, I know, like me, we're all getting older. We're not going to remember that. Like, we had probably had a favorite episode when we were a kid. We may not remember that now as our favorite episode, whatever, but we are remembering. If you make the new memory, here's the chance to make the new memory of Thundercats. Like, I just recommend doing it. And in my opinion, it's definitely worth it.
And while they're still accessible to
people, exactly,
this is the time. That is so true.
And 40 years. Again, Larry, Lynn, and Peter, they're not doing as many shows as they used to.
Right.
And they've all said, like, you know, traveling takes a lot out of you now. So it's like, if they're going to be close to you, maybe you're like, oh man, it's 2 hours away. I get it, man. If that's not for everybody. But maybe this would be the time, you know what? Yeah, I want to do that. You know, maybe take your friend, take your kid.
Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. Or again, if that 2 hour thing, whatever, if that's too far, totally get it. Because yeah, I don't go to many shows that are 2 hours away. Like, that's a long drive. But send the Facebook message. You know, what's it do? It takes you whatever it is, 10 minutes to put it together. And you know what? If you get that reply back from Larry being like, yo, thank you so much, Thundercats ho. Whatever it is, you're going to geek out a little bit. You're going to be that 5-year-old kid again.
1,000%
In front of the TV. Yeah.
And possibly red in the face, too. If you're like me.
Or me. You see how pale I am? Like, as soon as I get so red. So I'm right there with you.
It just means so much to us.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say, too, there's also not even just the voice actors. A lot of the writers are still around. And you can actually connect with them. And again, when you're a kid, you're not thinking about it. But now as you're older, you have a better appreciation for it. And again, even if it's just a simple, hey, man, I love this episode. I love this character. Thank you so much for, you know, whatever you did, whatever you actually did for it. I just wanted to thank you. Now's the time to do it. Because why not? What do you have to lose in thanking somebody? And all of the people that I have talked to they all love talking about it. You know, there hasn't been anybody been like, yeah, thanks anyway. You know, they haven't broken me off or anything.
They appreciated it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Again, as we're getting older, they're getting older too. And they have appreciation for things that they did back then. And the fact that here we are 40 years later, still loving the thing that they worked on 40 years later. The something that they worked on. Again, whether it was just a job they did for a couple months, whatever it is, yes. We still love something that they did. So you getting to share your appreciation with them, I think, is a big thing that people, especially as you get older, it means a lot more, you know?
1,000%, and they appreciate it. Yeah. Get beautifully said. And why don't you use this, Bunglers, as a motivation today? If you're listening to this, like Sean said, wish them a happy 40th. Thank them for the script they wrote. Thank them for the voice of your childhood, literally. I mean,
yeah,
it is. And it's honestly a testament to the community, because this, your sentiment, Sean, is the same as so many others. And I think that is what's unique to the Thundercats community. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many fans, and there are different, like, we're Sailor Moon fans and whatever type of other fans, you know, different He-Man fans and whatever else is out there. But our community as Thundercats fans, this is kind of the way we share it. And there is a lot of sentimentality. There's a lot of love there. You know, the point that you said about how I always bring this back, and we've talked about this, even with the Masters of the Universe, these cartoons not only were entertainment for us, they taught us a lot of things. There was a lot of values instilled in us. Again, and I've said this numerous times over many different podcast episodes, they instilled a lot of values in us and actually taught us things, and even taught us new words and things we were exposed to. Like, this is a parcel, like you said, to your point about writers. This is about smart writing. This is about writing to pique a child's interest, or to expose them to something new, or to embolden them and to give them some new substance. And that is something that I personally feel is lacking in many of the cartoons, and even generally speaking in television today. Now, there are a lot of shows that are very well written, and I would never take that away from them. But I'm saying, like, this is something that, you know, Ryan and I have talked about this so many times, when people dog on cartoons and say, like, our you know, generation of cartoons, and say they're misogynistic, or they're this, or stupid, or what. I'm like,
no, my favorite is there's no strong female leads. And I'm like, Shitara, She-Ra, Princess of Power? I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I think that's a point, like you said, about the writers. I don't think a lot of people, I think, not to take away from, you know, the Larrys and what have you of it, but also the people that wrote the background. Like, this is, you know, something that...
The stories that they acted in, the stories that they brought
to life. The storytelling, and you know, it's everybody that's involved. But, like, again, part of this community is the people that brought all this together and made this possible. The fact that they love when people reach out to them, again, is very much why we are the way we are, because it's obviously it translated into the product they produced. Those people obviously cared about what they were doing. It was a job, but they also cared about what they were doing and how they wrote it and how they produced it, and still care about it till today. And they're not just like, oh, whatever, dude, that's done. That was was 40 years ago. I don't care. I made a paycheck, whatever. You know, they actually care about that. And that's something that cannot be said for a lot of people.
So true.
I know. I apologize. I totally, like, we're talking about the episode, and I kind of took it way off track.
No, but this, I mean, it's...
We are tangent people. Oh, we are tangent people. We so apologize deep on every episode for going off.
We do. We go, oh, sorry. But here we are, 100. I guess people are getting something from it. I mean, it's a perfect episode to state that.
We have a palm tree. We have a palm tree.
So yes, the palm tree is coming to attack Lion-O and Snarfer.
I have to say one thing. My favorite line is when Snarfer says, Lion-O, he's trying to slice me.
Captain Cracker don't care, man. He will slice anybody, as any swashbuckling pirate would.
And he throws the bag at it. And he's like, that bag ain't... And Captain Cracker's like, that bag ain't gonna do nothing for you.
It did do a lot before, but yeah, now as a defense item, no. Does it actually matter? Because the Sword of Omens can now travel across space.
It always has.
Oh, you're right. I guess it has.
Remember when it got thrown into the black hole?
Captain Shiner.
Black hole.
Yeah.
Another captain.
Yeah.
That's just on that episode. I always wished that was Captain Cracker, by the way, because just like I always felt like that was it was definitely to me a Captain Cracker-esque episode because like, they're on the ship the entire time. I always wanted that to be.
Yes.
That was a fun episode with the covering the eye and thrown in the black hole. Yeah.
The mercenary. Remember that? That's the mercenary.
The only thing episode. I could say is what I liked about that, my favorite part of that episode is when he goes, I did it for the money, and Mumbra appears, and I paid the money.
The money, yeah. I love that. I love that. But I agree, that could have been Captain Cracker, because
that
Shiner has had a multitude of episodes at this point.
Yeah, he was around, like, even if it was just only there in the background, or kind of just there, he was in a lot. Like, he was in a lot compared to... No, I'm not going to complain. Captain Cracker was also in a lot more than a lot of people as well. He was in, what, 3 or 4 or something like that. So, he, you know, or maybe, I think it was 3, whatever it was.
I think it was three.
I know at least 2. I know there's a third. I'm forgetting which one it is.
We have that one, last one coming up. Yeah. So I don't know if that is the third or the fourth. You're right.
But yeah, like it could have that one. Captain Shiner, he's great. He's definitely great. But yeah, that one, I always felt to me that was more of a Captain Cracker. Like if they would have kept Captain Cracker more of a villainous Captain Cracker as opposed to.
Exactly.
That would have went well.
And it was in space, like you said, but here we are. The Sword of Omens travels across space to come to him, and they all kind of look outside the window, and they're like, is that the Sword of Omens? Yeah!
But after he says, now this is a new thing, he actually says, thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho, as opposed to saying, Sword of Omens, come to my hand, or come to my side. And I thought that was really interesting, that out of nowhere, he would do the whole thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho thing.
Thunder! 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 Thundercats! Ho!
That was the Sword of Omens!
It can't be!
Lion-O didn't take the sword with him! How could he call us?
Obviously, that doesn't make any difference to the Sword of Omens. It's going to him, and we're going after the sword! Let's fire up the Thunderstrike! Scramble!
Now, is that just William Overgaard just mixing up the two, possibly?
Oh, I don't care. I just thought it was interesting that he did that.
Well, now that's also a thing. Maybe something in editing, maybe a line or two got cut out, so that ended up getting pushed forward, you know? Or like, maybe the original script had it, but they had to cut it for time, or something in the animation went wrong, so, all right, cut out that half
a second.
What?
You're right, because think about this. If he summoned the Sword of Omens, come to my hand, right? Because the Sword of Omens woke up and did the dun, 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 the warning thing. Then, because the Thundercats, after they see the Sword of Omens flying, he's like, that's the Sword of Omens, right? We're going. They get up
right,
and go.
Right, they follow.
Maybe he would have gotten the sword, summoned the Thundercats, which would have been his normal catchphrase. And maybe that's why. So maybe they did do that. But I just thought it was interesting that it was a change. Oh, yeah. It was definitely a change from the norm.
Honestly, he probably could have just said anything. Sword of Omens. And you know the Sword of Omens would have.
Oh, yeah.
He could have clicked his heels 3 times and said, there's no place like home. Switched his nose.
I mean, honestly, the sword comes and saves the day, and then Lion-O does say something like, I can't believe that I left it. The Sword of Omens is a part of me.
There is no way I can lay the Sword of Omens aside. It is a part of me.
Yeah, he says like the Sword of Omens, he can never be apart from it because it's a part of him, which I thought was pretty profound.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is. It's his right hand, literally, you know, in a way. So during this, Lion-O and Snarfer then use, the giant bellows to cover the crash space tanker's engine with dust and stop the planet from heading towards Third Earth. Then we have this wrap-up where Cracker is... Poor Cracker! Poor Cracker can't get a break.
It's right...
Well, Lion-O, it doesn't look like you need any help from us.
Thanks to the Sword of Omens.
But then they also just leave the Lunatics here. Don't you know? They blast off.
Well, you got
off,
a few
right?
things.
Well,
you got a few things going on. You have the Thundercats basically explaining that the planet is now put back in its normal orbit.
Yeah, yes. Thankfully.
Right? You know, so you got that. You have Cracker talking to his parrot, saying he's got to watch those Lunatics because he doesn't trust them.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the Lunatics blasting off in Cracker's crab shack.
It's like Captain Cracker, his little shack was capable of interplanet travel.
Yeah. Again, Captain Cracker had a plan. He was working on something there. And that, again, which he didn't tell them all about, but somehow they found out.
And then we set up that the Lunatics are not stuck on this planet. And they're possibly coming back to Third Earth. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet.
Well, no, they say it.
Well,
Luna says, like, Third Earth, here we come, or something, doesn't she?
So long, Cracker! It's goodbye, Exile Isle, and hello, Third Earth! The Thundercats have entered the last of us!
And I just love that they all fit in that little, it looked like a clown car, you know, they all fit in that shack. They all squeezed in there. So some trivia, we learn in this episode that Chilla is vulnerable to rock salt. Vulnerable? They didn't say it looked like acid and melted her face. I mean, it melted her.
Yeah, it was like a horrific thing. She was like melting and even her voice sounded awful. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is bad.
I thought there was going to just be a torso there with that, you know, just a head, right. Head gone, just melted off.
Right.
It says, also, this is the first episode in which we see the robotic dog Scooper, and he will appear in one more episode, The Jade Dragon.
That's right.
Oh, Scooper. Okay, here's some goofs. Even though the Hovercat is incapable of space flight, Lion-O pilots it all the way from Third Earth to Exile Isle. I didn't even think of that.
That's right. And he also he just breathes out there too, right? He's not like he's wearing a mask or anything.
Space travel in cartoons, I mean, this is always something. There's, you know?
It's whatever works. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
In the episode, right? If it's ever...
Yeah. Well, whatever was written on the paper, it's fine. That's what the script called for.
And here we go. So even though Tugmug and Red Eye were present, they did not fight Lion-O when they arrived there, nor are they nowhere to be seen.
See, they were figuring out that the Captain Cracker shack, or the Crab Shack, could be used for interstellar flight. They went off, they were doing and all that. That's what that was.
They were in the crab shack listening to Kokomo.
Oh my god. Captain Cracker's Crab Shack.
Ooh. That is great. That's great.
Who knew? A seafood restaurant lover. So
they're serving up Widow Shark.
Black Widow Shark.
They finally got her.
Shark kebabs, I think you called it once. Oh no, you said they should make out of that siren they had one time.
Oh jeez.
I'm very aggressive when it comes
evidently,
to the enemies. The enemies of the Thundercats.
Cooking them and oh god. Okay, so we do ask every episode out of a 5 hoes. Mm-hmm. What would you give this on the hoe scale, as it was appropriately named?
So, again, obviously, I have some connections to this episode. There's, you know, with everything, with the Captain Cracker, with the Dennis connection. I'm going to have to go ahead and give it a 4.5. Yeah, 4.5, I think, yes, is a good one for me. Just because, now, if there weren't any connections like that, I don't know. I don't know what the hoe would, how many hoes it would get. But right now, I'd have to give it about 4.5. I feel, though, 4.5 might be a bit of a rookie score, and I'm sorry for that, but I think 4.5 works for me. 4.5 hoes for this one.
No, honestly, I mean, David, I don't know how you feel. I would give it a 4. A 4 out of 5. A 4 out of 5. Only 2, because it was a little different, and I think, again, yeah. 100 episodes in, mm-hmm. I like that it was Captain Cracker. I like that the Lunataks were off-planet, like, and the rock salt and things like that. I think a four out of five, that pushed it up for me.
I was gonna say a 4, because I like the whole tribunal thing with the different people of Third Earth. I liked that there is a place they're sending people now instead of just letting them roam Third Earth.
Well, it won't be forgotten.
Once they're
David.
Captured. Yeah, I would have liked that to continue. I liked a lot of aspects of it. It kind of was like a fast forward for me. Mm. Fast forward moment because of what they've been doing and where they are. I understand why he didn't bring the Sword of Omens, because it would have been too easy. I mean, generally, it would have been too easy for the show itself, the episode. He would have just went in, used the Sword of Omens, 1, 2, 3, everything would have been done. So I like the thing about the throwing, not killing Chilla per se, but...
Chilla's okay, we'll save Chilla. Okay, I'm okay.
Well, if that's my homegirl, she's going to drive me home after I'm too drunk.
I'm right there with you.
Even though she don't have a license, and she got to look for it, and then she got to spray you with something. She's going to spray you with mace and get out of there.
Still, that Super 7 comes with the pocketbook is the best thing in the world.
Oh, officer, let me find this. Here it is.
That was the best thing.
So I'm going to say a 4. It was a very interesting episode. I'm excited that it's the 100th episode. I'm excited it's the 40th. Definitely the connections, obviously. The company on this.
Yeah, it made it extra special.
It made it extra special. But it was a good episode. It was very different. And I liked it did a little more. It wasn't just going to the unicorn forest. And the mutants just came and attacked you. It was a lot. It was a bunch of stuff.
And
going
it's
on.
Not something that would like change the continuity of the show forever. Like mm-hmm. things that have happened in some episodes. The chain of loyalty, which will say forever, you know, that's the only thing.
You're only loyal to somebody because you got a pair of jewelry.
I mean, so that alone.
Well, Chitara might be like that. You're loyal if she keeps giving her gold.
Inflame
her. I know she loves her gold.
Inflamer.
And Tigra. Keep giving me that fruit, Tigra.
And Driller and Diamonds. Like...
Oh, God. Driller.
We all have an addiction. Mine's food.
Oh, my gosh. I know that.
You want some diamonds, Driller?
Being abused by Mumra, because he always has to viciously abuse him and condescend him before. You need these to keep your drills sharp, right? You're useless without these diamonds. Tell me you're useless without my diamonds. So...
Right. Tell me you love me.
Oh, Mumra. So we have one more thing to ask, and that is, of course, who is our biggest bungler of the episode? This is, of course, the character we think messed up the most.
Once again, you have failed.
You are a worthless, bungling idiot.
Bungler.
You bungler.
You bungled the job again.
You bungled it.
Delightful.
It could be anybody. Is there anyone you're thinking about, Sean? Like, who might have made, if they did this, it might have helped their situation.
Well, I've also have said in the past that it was the writer of the episode they bungled on something. I have said that it's multiple characters. I have said that it was many things. So it doesn't have to be one thing. It could be that Mumra did this, but also Slive did this, and they both bungled that or whatever. So it doesn't have to be one character, like Ryan said. Anything.
Okay.
That's very true.
Well, I guess realistically, it's hard. My original person was going. Well, people, I guess, would have been the people that were flying in and ended up hitting the planet once they crashed in there, that put everything into motion. But that was a plan orchestrated by Captain Cracker. So I don't know if it's fair to put that on them, because Captain Cracker, he had a plan for it. It happened. It went right according to plan. But if the ship wouldn't have crashed into Exile Isle and wouldn't have knocked it out of orbit, it wouldn't have sent it going towards Third Earth. So I don't know if it's, I don't, man, I don't know who. It's not fair to put it on them because they just fell into Captain Cracker's plan. So is that fair to put them as bunglers or no?
Oh, yeah.
They also said that they could not come any further because they were in the parameter of that planet.
The devil's gas or something.
So I don't understand why. The thing is maybe their technology's not that great. I would have thought they'd still be able to use some kind of heat signature or something to see the planet still.
Oh, right.
Like, if they're advanced enough to go through space, how come a little bit of dust in the air, which still confuses me because it's a planet and how it would not stay within the atmosphere of the planet if there, maybe there is no atmosphere.
Thundera reformed. After that, anything is possible.
But anyway, so that could be a bungle, them being not smart enough to stay back and kind of look at what's going on here.
Yeah, right. To me, I'm going to put it for them because I originally was going to say, I feel as though as far as all the other characters on the thing, while it pains me to say it, it's almost Captain Cracker should be because he almost seems like the silliest of all of the characters. Not that makes him like a bungler or anything, but again, everything was his plan. So I can't put it as him. So I'm going to give it
to
them.
And he had limited resources.
And he did good for the limited resources. He did pretty damn good.
I gotta go put it again. I forget the name of the people, but I'm gonna give it to them. What are you guys? Who do you have?
The Zalem Queen ship?
Yes, the Zalem Queen. Whoever they are. Ship.
It's Caribbean Queen.
Might as well have been on that planet. Yeah. I think you're on to something. And David, you're saying too, the them as well, the Zalems?
I'm going in a different way, and only because I'm gonna really stretch the term bungler for this one.
Okay.
I feel like the ultimate, at the end of the day, the ultimate bungling is the Thundercats, and I'm gonna tell you why. At the end of this episode, they left Captain Cracker and the Lunataxx on a planet with a damaged ship that they know still works.
Yeah.
Did they not think that they could use the parts from that ship to get off of that planet? Which ultimately, they do escape, whether it was because Cracker was already working on that, or maybe he needed a few parts from that ship to complete it.
Yeah.
Why would you be so stupid to think that they weren't going to do something with that leftover ship? Just because you put some smoke and dust in it, they could clean that out and could have continued to use that. Because they made it a point. They made it a point to say, they're never getting out of there. Panther was like, oh, they're never getting out of there. Well, you said that before. So they bungled. That was a big bungle.
Yeah, you are dead on with that. Good.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I don't think Captain Cracker bungled at all. I think he worked with what he had, and the Lunataxx did what they were going
to
do.
No, you know what? I'm going to give it to the Lunataxx just to be different because I can't
believe... they got caught in the net?
They got caught in the net after all of that, and then on the planet... Rock salt aside, if Tug Mug and everybody else were involved, they probably could have overpowered Lion-O at some point. If they were all in one area, I think they could have.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Wow, I can't believe this was a differences for the series. Mm-hmm. We were off Third Earth. We can't wait to see Captain Cracker again.
Again?
So then that's it. You'll have to come back.
I would love to. Honestly, you know, anytime you'd like me back, I'm here. Like, anytime.
Well, you let us know. You let us know if there's an episode that you really like. It doesn't have to be Captain Cracker. We're always open.
That's true. I mean, it doesn't have to be Cracker, but we get a thrill associating you with Cracker. So, but of course, it could be anything.
I get a thrill being associated with Cracker. Anyway, oh my goodness. Like, yes.
First off, please, for any listeners who haven't checked out Buddha's book here on its third printing.
Third printing, yes.
Congratulations.
Oh my God. Again. Thank you. Congratulations. I want to say that it's also available on Big Bad Toy Store now.
Yes, it is. While it's still available, they've actually sold out of their first order of it and had to reorder more. So I don't know. I've got no idea how many they have left, but you can get it on Big Bad Toy Store. And again, I ship all over the world. Like, I know you mentioned your fans from Australia and Greece.
Yes.
Their art copies have been sent to Australia and Greece. So I will say. all the shipping, we send you the thing so you can pick it. But Big Bad Toy Store, if you do get things from there, you can throw it in your pile of loot, add it to that. It may be better for you shipping-wise, whatever you want to do. But yeah, we ship all over the world. Books currently in, I think it's 28 different countries we've gotten orders from. So
sweet.
Anyone, we will get it to you as best we can. If we can't do it, Big Bad Toy Store can do it, whomever.
I also want to mention that Sean's links, we have everything from Facebook to Twitter X to the Claw Machine Challenge. All will be in the description box below. If you're listening to this on YouTube, it will be in the description box. If you're listening to it audio-wise, it will be there too. Please check out his links. I'm going to say, I think it's that Thundercats fan like David was talking about earlier. I think it raised a special bunch of people. And your heart shows, your talent, your passion shows. So thank you so much for joining us, Sean. On this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me not only for the Thundercats 40th anniversary, but for the 100th episode. Like, it's an honor. It honestly is. I know I've said this in messages to you, and honestly, thank you so much. I know we have been trying to get this done for a little while now, and because of issues with me, we had to keep pushing it back. I can't thank you enough for doing that. And honestly, it means the world to me. It really does. Thank you.
It worked out. I think it worked out perfectly, honestly. I think it was meant to be, although we want you as the best you can, but I think it worked out. The 40th, the 100th, all in 1 week, and you. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Anytime. Again, I'll be here for the next Cap Cracker episode. When you guys open the Captain Cracker Crab Shack, and that's the next business venture I'm in.
There we go. That might be how
we'll take off. Oh my God, that would work out. That would be good.
That might be how we have to make it, finally. Live from the Crab Shack, Bunglers, yes. Thank you so much for being here for another episode. We only had one Thundercat episode this month, but next month we are back in the swing of things. You're going to get 4 episodes.
In
February, yeah.
The shortest month. Look at that. The shortest month. You're getting 4 episodes. That's fantastic.
How, Sean? I don't know, but
but you're making
listen,
it happen.
We need to stretch out these Thundercats as long as possible.
My God, yeah.
So you're only going to get, you're going to change it. You're going to get half of the first episode in February, then the second half of it.
No, you know what, though? I keep saying if we continue, we're doing the 2011 and then we're doing Roar, we'll have some time.
I love the 2011 series as well. So again, anytime you like me around, and we may lose that. Some people that are interested. For what it was worth, I enjoyed Thundercats War. So again, everybody, send your hate mail to me. I get it.
No,
Do you know I've never seen it? I've never seen it.
I'm excited to show David because it's funny. It's funny.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't compare it to this one. Don't compare it to 2011. Compare it to what the image you think of your head when you're thinking of it. Think of it as that and nothing else.
Exactly. Exactly. And that means when we do them, then you'll have to come back as well. So they're perfect.
Exactly. I'm always down. Always down. Anytime I get the invite, you can count me in for anything. For the 2011 series, I actually have some interesting tidbits I can share as well.
This is amazing. Thank you. So there you go. You see the future, Bunglers. We have quite a future in store. Thank you for supporting this. If you are watching this on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe and all that good stuff that people say. And if you would like to leave us a review on Apple, that would be greatly appreciated. We're stuck at 21, and for some reason, Apple's the way to go. Apple's the big cheese, so...
Is it?
If we can get our Apple listeners up or reviews, if you can, you can. Thank you both. As always, Thundercats ho!
Who are you calling a ho?
That's me. I get it. I'm the guest, so I get called the hoe. I understand.
He's a hoe. It's him. He's the hoe.
It's been revealed after 100 episodes.
4 out of 5 hoes.
Dungeness is back.
Hey, Joe!
That's right. Let's party at the Shack because Dungeness Crab is back. Joe's has an awesome steak and Dungeness Crab combo for only $12.99. Our famous Dungeness Crab prepared just how you like them. Barbecued, garlic, or steamed. Pair that with our juicy top sirloin steak and you've got a winning combination all for just $12.99. So what are you waiting for? Grab the whole family and head to Joe's for our steak and Dungeness Crab combo.
Well, now, that changes everything.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.